Today on A Daily Walk, we'll take notice of how God prepares us for greater works of service.
In the process of our own preparation, where God is doing something in and through our lives, sometimes people will say, well, maybe if I was over there, that's, you know, later on in that season, maybe that's when God will work. Or if I was just somewhere else, that's what. No, God has you where he has you for this season right now. Doesn't mean that you're always going to be in that place, but this is obviously where God has you. And therefore, rather than complain about where you're at, you want to grow where you're at. Allow the Lord to work in your life. Allow the Spirit of God to mold and shape you and develop you right where he's placed you, at that school, at that job, in that neighborhood, for this season in your life. God uses those times. Preparation is essential for effective spiritual service.
Where I am, we'll walk by faith. Well, even when I cannot see, we'll be cursed. This broken road prepares your will for me.
Maybe you've been wondering lately, what is God up to in my life? Perhaps you're going through a difficult trial, or you've been working at a job for years and can't wait to move on. It could be that you're in a season of preparation, just as the Apostle Paul was. Today on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Randall explains how God prepared Paul for usefulness and then go on to relate that to our own daily walk. We're in Acts chapter 9.
Last week, as we began Acts chapter 9, we read of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Being that he was a Pharisee, he was extremely zealous for his religion, so much so that he was blinded by it, and he had determined to do away with any who were of the way, those who were Christians, followers of Jesus. He went to Jerusalem. He received the proper paperwork from the authorities there to travel to Damascus, and if he found any Christians there, he would bring them back to Jerusalem, have them tried, and then executed. Yet as Saul made his journey down from Jerusalem to Damascus, he had a confrontation with Jesus. And Saul was knocked to the ground, seeing a light, the Bible says, that was brighter than the noonday sun. And it blinded his eyes. And as he lay there on the ground, he heard the voice of Jesus speaking to him. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And you remember that Saul responded and he said, "Who are you, Lord? And what would you have me to do?" Jesus then said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And so Saul was led by the hand into the city of Damascus, where he waited, having fasted for 3 days, waiting for more instructions from the Lord. The Lord then prepared a servant in Damascus whose name was Ananias, and told him to go and to lay hands on Saul and pray for him. When Ananias received this command from the Lord, he was reluctant, knowing what Saul was and what he had come to Damascus to do. However, the Lord informed Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, of the calling that God had placed upon Saul's life when he said, "Saul is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, before kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Following his conversion, Saul of Tarsus would eventually become Paul the Apostle. And yet there was a period of time in his life where God began to prepare him for his calling. As you read through the scriptures, you will discover that many of God's servants had seasons of preparation in their lives. Times where God uniquely took them aside. Some, they were prepared in a valley. Others were prepared in a wilderness. Some in a shepherd's field. Some even in a prison cell. God prepared their lives uniquely for the calling that he had for them. And this morning, I want to highlight some of the aspects of the great apostle's preparation. And the reason why is I believe that possibly there may be some here today that you're in a season in your life where you are wondering, God, what are you doing? God, what are you up to? Lord, what is it that you're stirring in my heart? What is happening in this season? And for some of you, even those that I've talked to in previous services, God may be bringing you into a season of preparation for something that he has for you yet in the future. And so, as we begin, the first thing I want to point out to you in verses 20 through 22 is that preparation for service begins right where you are. Right where the Lord has you at the present time, at this moment. Look again at what it says. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God, and all who heard were amazed, and they said, isn't this he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And he's come here for this purpose. He might bring them bound to the chief priests. And Saul increased all the more in strength. After his conversion outside of Damascus, as Saul came into Damascus, he stayed there, and that's where he began to minister, right there. God had a calling on his life, but the preparation for that calling started right where he was at that moment. Could you imagine Saul of Tarsus coming to church on the first Sunday after his conversion? Everybody recognizing him, maybe Ananias brought him, we don't know. But people knew that's Saul of Tarsus. What is he doing here? Security, get him out of here. He is not supposed to be here. And yet, that's where he began to grow. Normally, when Saul would come into a synagogue, being the Pharisee that he was, he would be given the scrolls. He would be given the floor. He would be the one commentating and teaching from the law of God. However, Saul's message changed from what it used to be. He wasn't talking about tradition and keeping the law at this point. He was talking about one message, and that was Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ. Now, keep in mind, there are some today that assume, and falsely, I might add, that when the Bible refers to Jesus as the Son of God, that he is saying he's not God, only the Son of God. But that is not true. In Jesus' day, everyone knew what that title meant. When you were called the son of someone, it means that you were completely and totally identified with that person. When Jesus called himself the Son of God, and when others referred to him in that way, everyone understood that that was a clear claim to his deity. In fact, on two occasions where Jesus refers to himself, John chapter 5, as well as Matthew chapter 26, concerning himself being the Son of God, it was then that they accused him of blasphemy, because he, being a man, made himself equal with God. And that is why they put him on a cross. Everybody knew exactly what he meant when he referred to himself as the Son of God. And so that is what Saul began to preach. And with his background in the Old Testament and the prophetic scriptures, you can imagine that Saul would pull from Isaiah and pull from Jeremiah and pull from all of these places, pull from Deuteronomy, and link them all to the person of Jesus Christ, preaching that Jesus was the Christ. And as he stayed in Damascus, it says he got stronger. He continued to grow. That was just the beginning. He was growing where he was planted, but he continued to increase in strength and knowledge. And then he began to confound those who were in opposition. It literally means to stir things up. He was stirring things up in the city, not only confounding those who were in opposition, but proving that Jesus was the Christ, to where no one was able to refute his arguments because they were so solid based upon the Old Testament scriptures that they possessed. Preparation for usefulness began right where Saul was. And I point this out, that in the process of our own preparation, where God is doing something in and through our lives, sometimes people will say, well, maybe if I was over there, that's, you know, later on in that season, maybe that's when God will work. Or if I was just somewhere else, that's what. No, God has you where he has you for this season right now. Doesn't mean that you're always going to be in that place, but this is obviously where God has you. And therefore, rather than complain about where you're at, you want to grow where you're at. Allow the Lord to work in your life. Allow the Spirit of God to mold and shape you and develop you right where he's placed you, at that school, at that job, in that neighborhood, for this season in your life. God uses those times. Preparation is essential for effective spiritual service. I'm sure all of us, I know for myself, I can say by way of testimony that there have certainly been seasons in my life where I ask the Lord, God, what are you doing right now? What is the benefit of me being here in this place? By the way, I'm not asking that now. I'm talking in the past. I love being here. But I'm saying when in the formative years of ministry and my calling, I didn't know what God was doing and why it was that he was doing it, and I'd question him on a regular basis. What is the benefit of this? I remember working my first job at the church as a janitor, and I thought, Lord, what is the benefit of this? Lord, why am I doing this? How is this going to prepare me for further ministry? And the Lord would minister to me in those seasons and say, you need to learn to be a servant because you're not. All right, Lord, I mean, I'm good with that. I mean, I can learn to serve you, teaching me how to be a servant. Later on, as I began to work on at the school, the elementary school that was there at our church, serving for 2 years with children, kindergarten through sixth grade, every day. All day. There were occasions when I said, Lord, why am I here? What are you wanting to do in my life? I mean, I know I need patience and I need to be a servant, but what is the point of all of this? And you know something? The Lord ministered to me so sweetly. I'll never forget it. I was walking along the blacktop right near the playground, and I was having one of these conversations with the Lord. Not out loud, but between me and him. Lord, what are you doing? And the Lord said, John, I'm teaching you how to care for the little sheep. If you don't know how to care for the little sheep, you're not going to be able to care for the big sheep. What a season it was. I needed to grow right where it was that God had me. And maybe that's a word for you today. Man, I don't like this job. Man, this is horrible. Well, okay, grow right where you are. Allow the Lord to work in your life. And embrace the opportunity that God's given you in the season that you're in. That's where it begins, right where you are. And Saul found that to be true. But Saul, as he continued to stir things up and confound the Jews effectively, there was another phase of his development and preparation for further service. And that is, preparation came through personal time spent alone with Jesus. Personal time with the Lord alone. Let me say that there are some differing opinions. As you come to Acts chapter 9, verses 21 through 22, and even into 23, some have marked a period of time between verses 21 and 22 that after Saul's conversion, he went into the desert of Arabia for 3.5 years. Some people put that place between verses 22 and 23. It makes no difference to me. We know that he went to the desert of Arabia. That you can be sure of because he writes about it in Galatians. Whether it was between 21 and 22 or 22 and 23, it makes no difference. You can read the commentaries yourself and it doesn't matter. What you'll find out is that Saul did go into the desert of Arabia where he spent time alone with the Lord for 3 years. In fact, I want you to see some of the things that went on in his life. He writes about it later on in the book of Galatians chapter 1. Turn to the right in your Bible, Galatians chapter 1. And by the way, I am reading out of the New King James translation. Some people ask me, what translation do you use? I was asked that this morning. Are you just making up some of those verses because they're not in my Bible? No, I am reading out perhaps of a different translation than you are. But do your best to follow along regardless of the translation that you have. Galatians chapter 1, and look at verse 15. Now Paul the Apostle writes, he said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But, here it is, I went into Arabia and I returned to Damascus, and then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, it was after Saul's conversion, we know that he leaves Damascus for a period of time, goes out into the desert of Arabia. For what purpose? I believe to discover the truth of the grace of God. The apostle Paul, prior to going out into Arabia, he knew a lot about the law of God. He was a Pharisee. In fact, concerning the law, he said concerning himself, he was blameless. But he didn't know anything about grace. And so he goes out into the desert for 3 years in seclusion with the Lord, being with the Lord, and he learns about grace, and he comes back as the apostle of grace. In fact, Paul the apostle would write more about the grace of God than any other New Testament writer. Over more than 100 times throughout the scriptures, he would refer to the grace of God. And I think that's where he learned it, in seclusion. The Lord took him aside by himself and began to instruct him. There are seasons, I believe, when God will, if I may say, take us to the side, put us on the bench for a little bit to instruct us, bring us into the classroom to teach us some things that maybe we didn't know before, to instruct us so that we might be more effective. Remember, Jesus would say to his disciples on more than one occasion in his ministry, come aside by yourselves and rest for a while. There are many coming and going, and they would get alone with Jesus. Times when he would speak a parable, and the disciples, after the crowds had been dismissed, would come and say, Lord, explain that to us. What did you mean when you said that? And the Lord would instruct them personally in that moment. I believe there are seasons that God sets us apart, prunes us perhaps, so that we might bear more fruit later on. But I also believe that daily it is important to spend time alone with Jesus, because that's where you're prepared for the day, in private, in seclusion. You remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door and meet with your Father in that secret place. And when you meet with him in that secret place, he will then reward you openly. But that's where it takes place, guys. Preparation for the day, preparation for life. You want to know how to love your wife, gentlemen? It happens right there in that prayer closet with the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to be a servant to her. You want to know how to love your husband, to submit to his leadership, ladies? You need to spend much time alone with Jesus. You want to know how to raise your kids, love our kids, you know, in the Lord, serve the Lord. Whatever it is that God's called you to do, preparation for that comes by spending time alone with Jesus. Do you have a time presently, daily, that you meet with the Lord? Do you know he loves to meet with you? That he longs for you to come into his presence, to sit before him, to receive what he wants to say to you. Take advantage of those times where God prepares you in private. I think of Moses, out of the eye of everyone for 40 years, out in the middle of the desert. I don't necessarily want to be prepared for 40 years in a desert, but that's where Moses went in order to be prepared to lead God's people through that desert. I think of David being prepared in the shepherd field, caring for the sheep in order that he might be a shepherd king over the nation of Israel. I think of Jesus of Nazareth, our King, our Lord, being prepared for 30 years of his life in obscurity, for 3 years of the most effective ministry that the world will ever see. God has ways of preparing us. And so often it's in those places that nobody sees, when nobody's around, right there in that moment. That's when God's doing a deep work that no one sees. And it is something that we must yield to. It appears that after this time in the desert, Saul then comes back to Damascus. As he says here in Galatians, I came back to Damascus. And now back in the book of Acts, what happened then? Well, look at what it says in verse 23. After many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down through the wall in a large basket. Verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Saul was faithfully confounding the opposition from the Jews, and so they decided to put him to death. When they couldn't refute his arguments, they found no other remedy to get rid of this man than to kill him. However, he was escaped from the city, being lowered, it says, through a large basket over the wall of the city. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, Paul will write about this experience that he had where he was lowered in a basket over the wall. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you were to read that chapter, you will find that he is listing all of the hardships that he went through in his life. From the perils in the sea, spending a night and a day in the deep, that is out in the middle of the ocean. Could you imagine a night and a day floating in the ocean? That's a little scary. The first sight of a fin, you just think, it's over, Lord. This is not the way I want to go, but that was his life. He talks about the stripes. He talks about the imprisonments. He talks about all these things he suffered. And then he says, besides that, the thing that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of the churches. I mean, he went through it. And then Then he writes about, in that same list, one of the difficulties that he experienced when he had to be lowered in a basket and escaped for his life outside of Damascus. He writes about it, and here's what he says. He says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about the things that concern my infirmity. The God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I'm not lying. He said in Damascus, in 2 Corinthians 11:30, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city with a Damascus garrison, desiring to arrest me. I was let down in a basket through the window in the wall, and I escaped from his hands. Here we find another way in which God prepares us for greater works of service. Make note of this. God prepares us through the trials he allows us to go through. Did you know that? Did you know that some of the difficulties that God allows to touch our lives are the very instruments and tools that God will use to refine us, to use us in greater ways later on? Here, Saul looks at that experience and he says, that was painful. That was difficult. That was hard for me. It was one of the things that I would list on the infirmities and weaknesses and challenges that I faced. But it was the very thing that God used in his life to get him where he wanted to go. I'm sure that it humbled him. I'm sure that it broke him. I thought, Lord, I've been prepared for 3 years, and now this? Certainly I should have a more effective ministry than this. But he was unwanted. Not only was he unwanted by those who were his enemies in Damascus, but look at this hardship. Make note of this. In verse 26, it talks about him coming to the church in Jerusalem, and the church doesn't receive him. That's a little discouraging. The apostles say, no, we don't want that guy here. We know all about him. We don't believe he's truly converted. Now imagine Saul for a moment coming back to Jerusalem and the difficulty that would be for him. It's been some time since he's been in Jerusalem. And as he's making his way up to the city, think about this. He looks over and he sees that area right outside the city where he had years earlier held the coats of those who took Stephen and put him to death. And the thought of that. And the reminder of who he used to be. And as he walks the streets of Jerusalem, thinking about when he was part of the Sanhedrin, thinking about the people that he had already brought before that governing body and condemned them to death and executed them, and it's all going through his mind. And so he comes to the one place where grace and forgiveness is preached and the blood of Jesus is mentioned, and they don't want anything to do with him because of who he was. That hurts, doesn't it? The trials that he experienced outside the church and the painful circumstance he went through inside the church. Oh, there's a lot of people that get hurt in the church today. People come with, this happened to me in this church, and you don't know what I went through, and this is what I experienced, and we hurt each other. It's unfortunate. We're fallen people. But sometimes it's those very things that God uses to refine us, to get our eyes on him and off that person or off that thing, and God will use that for further preparation.
Yes, God often prepares us through the trials he allows into our lives. And maybe that's exactly what he's doing in your life today. You've been listening to A Daily Walk with our pastor and teacher, John Randall. It's a ministry of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano. We're going through Acts at the present time, and you can order a CD copy of today's message for a cost of just $5 at adailywalk.org or by calling 888-253-1280, or listen online at adailywalk.org. You can find Pastor John on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, you can follow him at PJRandall7, and on Instagram at Pastor John Randall. What a privilege it is to be able to talk to God anytime and anywhere. But what should you pray about? Now, that's a struggle for many of us, isn't it? Today, we'd like to share a book that can help, authored by Pastor Chuck Smith. It's called Effective Prayer Life. Take your prayer life to a whole new level as you read this short but powerful book. We'll send you a copy for a cost of $5. Request this online at adailywalk.org or call 888-253-1280. As we continue to get the word out on stations like this all across the nation, we would appreciate your support. We're hearing from people quite frequently that are being helped in their daily walk through the teaching of the Word, and your gift serves to make this possible. You can donate online at adailywalk.org or call us at 888-253-1280. We also love receiving listener letters and emails. So let us know what God is up to in your daily walk. It would make our day. Write to us today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com or by mail to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. And have you had a chance to download the Calvary San Juan Capistrano Church app onto your phone or mobile device? It's free. It's a great way to take the teaching of God's Word with you wherever you go. Look for that in the App Store, Google Play, or Apple TV. Just type in CCSJC to download our app. We'll get right back into Acts next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We'll see you then.
Well, I will walk by faith. Well, even when I cannot see, we'll be covered.